Saul. Paul was born as Saul, as a Roman citizen. He was a Roman by birth. He was born in Tarsus. He was a very zealous Israelite. He was educated at the feet of Gamaliel. And Peter says that he wrote many things that were hard to be understood. That going on, he said that the people that are unlearned twist and change. But what I want to speak on today, as a title, if you like titles, is Paul and the Law of God. Paul is used by most Protestants, if not all Protestant denominations, to demonstrate that the law is done away with, nailed to the cross, if you will. Is this a true statement? Many believe that it is. Let's look at that scripture first. It's in Colossians chapter 2, beginning in 13, verse 13. Colossians chapter 2, verses 13 and 14. And you, being dead in your sins, talking to Christians, talking to converted believers, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, both he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, and blotting out the handwriting of ordinance against you, against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. That says right there pretty clear that he nailed these ordinances to the cross. But is that what Paul really meant? Does Paul's teaching throughout the New Testament follow up on this general concept of the law is done away, is nailed to the cross? Paul said in 1 Corinthians 11, verses 1 and 2, kind of gives you a good general overview of where Paul was going. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, beginning in verse 1. Be you followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. So Paul is saying, follow me, as I follow Christ. He goes on in verse 2. Now I praise you, brethren, that you remember me in all things and keep the ordinances as I have delivered them to you. So that's Paul's overall approach. Follow me as I follow Christ. Let's take a look at what Christ followed. Turn with me, if you would, to Exodus chapter 20. I know this is a review, it's like talking to the choir, but it's always good to review now and again. Exodus chapter 20. We'll read down through the Ten Commandments. God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God, which have brought you out of the land of Egypt and out of the house of bondage. Commandment number 1, you shall have no other gods before me. Commandment number 2, you shall not make unto yourself any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in the heaven above or that is in the earth beneath or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down yourself to them nor serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me, and keep my commandments. Not the commandments that are done away with, not the ones that are nailed to the cross, but these. Number 3, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that takes his name in vain. 4. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shall you labor and do all your work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall not do any work, you, nor your son, nor your daughter, your manservant, nor your maidservant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger that is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested on the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. 5. Honor your father and mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God gives you. 6. You shall not kill. 7. Verse 14. You shall not commit adultery. 8. You shall not steal. 9. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. 10. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife. You shall not, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that it is your neighbor's. Jesus came to earth as a man. Let's look at what he taught as he was a man. Start out in Matthew chapter 4, verse 10. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 10. There are way, way too many of references of this regard, so we're not going to go through all of them. I tend to get carried away. So let's look here in Matthew chapter 4. Pick it up in verse 10. This is describing the confrontation between Jesus Christ and Satan before Christ began his earthly ministry. And then said Jesus unto him, "Get you hence, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve." So no other gods before the true God. And Christ starts right out covering that aspect with commandment number 1. Let's look at Matthew chapter 22 and verse 37. Matthew 22 and verse 7. And Jesus said unto him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind." Verse 38, this is the first and great commandment. So Christ taught obedience to the first commandment. Let's drop to the second commandment, John chapter 4. John chapter 4, verse 24. John 4, verse 24. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Revelation chapter 2. So another aspect of the second commandment that Christ taught. Revelation chapter 2 and verse 14. "But I have a few things," Christ speaking to the church in Pergamos, "I have a few things against you, because you have there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed to idols, and to commit fornication." Drop down to verse 20, talking to Thyatira. "Notwithstanding, I have a few things against you, because you suffer that woman Jezebel, which calls herself a prophetess, to teach and seduce my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed to idols." So talking about sacrificing to idols. and pointing out that's not to be done. Drop back to Matthew chapter 12 and verse 31. We're going to move a lot, and quite a few times we won't be going to the same place. So it doesn't do good to put the string in it. But Matthew chapter 12 and verse 31. Wherefore, I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men. I think that upside down. Shall be forgiven unto men, but the blasphemy against the Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost, shall not be forgiven unto men. Whosoever speaks a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whosoever speaks against the Holy Spirit, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world nor in the world to come. Matthew 15. Matthew 15, verses 19 and 20. For out of the heart proceedeth evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witnesses, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashed hands does not defile a man. The fourth commandment, keep the Sabbath holy. Christ's teaching, Matthew chapter 12. Verses 11 and 12. And he said unto them, what man shall there be among you that shall have one sheep? And if it fall into a pit on the Sabbath day, will he not lay hold on it and lift it out? How much more then is a man better than a sheep? Wherefore it is lawful to do well on the Sabbath day. Still keep the Sabbath, but it's lawful to do good. Matthew chapter 24 and verse 20. But pray that your flight be not in the winter, nor on the Sabbath day. Talking about times that are coming up very soon ahead of us, I hope and I pray. And looking at world events, it certainly looks as if it is developing toward the time that is imminent. Verse 21, for then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, there should be no flesh saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. So it's going to get bad and probably approach or surpass the way it was before the flood. But God promised that he would not destroy the world again through a flood. But he's got a plan that he's working out that we're all a part of. Luke chapter 6. Verses 5 and 9, I believe. Yeah. And he said unto them, the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath. Verse 9. And Jesus said unto them, I will ask you one thing. Is it lawful on Sabbath days to do good or to do evil, to save life or destroy it? And he was going to do a healing on the Sabbath day. And he was looking around them all to see if they were going to jump in and answer the question. Nobody said anything, so he said to the man, stretch forth your hand. And he did so. And his hand was restored as whole as the other. But they're at least 10 more besides, I had 3-4 more there that I'm not going to cover, but at least 10 more references to Sabbath, what Christ taught on and about the Sabbath day. Commandment number 5, honor your father and mother. Matthew chapter 15 and verse 4. Matthew 15 and verse 4. And God commanded, saying, honor your father and mother. He that curses father or mother, let him die the death. But he said, but you say, whosoever shall say to his father and mother, it's a gift, by wheresoever you might be profited by me, and honor not his father and mother, he shall be free. For you have made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition. What he was talking about there was people that promised to give a gift to the temple, to support the temple. And it was considered korban or special. And they honored that. But even if their father and mother were in dire straits, they'd still go ahead and give the money to the temple instead of taking care of their father and mother. And Christ was saying, you dishonor the commandments of God by giving your money to someone when it rightfully should go to your father and mother to give them honor. Mark chapter 7, verse 10. Mark chapter 7 and verse 10. But you say, if a man shall say to his father and mother, covering the same incident from a different perspective in a different chapter of the New Testament. But you say, if a man shall say to his father or mother, it is korban, that is to say a gift, by whosoever you might be profited by me, he shall be free, and you shall suffer him no more to do aught for his father or his mother, making the word of God of none effect through your traditions, which you have delivered, and many such like things you do. Commandment number 6, you shall not steal, not kill, you shall not kill. Matthew 5, verses 21 and 22. You have heard it said by them of old time, you shall not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. Verse 22. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, you shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, you fool, shall be in danger of hellfire. So Christ was amplifying the commandments, bringing it up to a spiritual level that we can not only have to resist from pulling the trigger, but we have to resist from calling names. We have to, as it says in other places, love your enemies. And loving your enemies is probably one of the toughest things to do. Even if they're not enemies, people like that, that just, they don't do anything serious. They don't shoot at you, but they're an enemy to your attitude, and you really have to get to the point where you can pray for them, you know. And it's a learning process that we all go through. Where were we? No stealing, no adultery. No adultery, that's where we were. Matthew 5, verses 27 and 28. You have heard it said by them of old times, you shall not commit adultery. But I say unto you that whosoever looks on a woman to lust after her has committed adultery with her already in his heart. Verse 32. And I say to you that whosoever shall put away his wife, saving for the cause of a fornication, causes her to commit adultery. And whosoever shall marry her that is divorced commits adultery. Matthew 19 and verse 9. Matthew 19 and verse 9. Repeating again what it had said in the earlier verse. But I say unto you, whosoever shall put away his wife, except it be for fornication, and shall marry another, commits adultery. And whosoever marries her which is put away, commits adultery. And there are many, many more scriptures in the Gospels, red letter version, words of Jesus Christ about the commandments. Shall not steal. We'll stay here in Matthew 19 and verse 18. Matthew 19 and verse 18. And Jesus Christ here lists several of them together. Backing up to 17. And he said unto him, or 16, behold, one came unto him and said, good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? Christ said to him, why do you call me good? There is none good but one, and that is God. But if you will enter into life, keep the commandments. And the gentleman answered him back, and he said unto him, which? And Jesus said, you shall do no murder, the one we just previously covered. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. Honor your father and mother, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus Christ covered many scriptures, commandments in that particular address. Adultery, stealing, lying. Jump down to Matthew, back to Matthew 6. We'll touch on the 10th commandment. Matthew 6 and verse 25. Wherefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body more than raiment? Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much better than they? Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit to his stature? And why take you thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say to you, not even Solomon in all of his glory was arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Wherefore, therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles think. But your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all of these things. But seek you first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Mark chapter 7. Mark chapter 7. We'll read verses 22 and 23. Christ is talking about the thoughts that originate in our heart and mind. Thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, and foolishness. All of these evil things come from within and defile the man. John 15 and verse 10 sums up Jesus Christ's attitude and approach to the commandments. He said in verse 10 of John 15, "If you keep my commandments, you abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love." So Christ, who cannot lie, is admitting that he kept all of the Father's commandments. We need to keep all of the Father's commandments. We need to teach them in our families, formally and informally. We need to teach them in our communities, in our circle of friends, by example and sometimes by word. Let's look now at what Paul taught and see if he did in fact follow Christ. He said he did. Let's look and see what Paul taught. Acts 17, verses 24 and 27. Acts 17, verses 24. "God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwells not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything, seeing that he gives life and breath and all things, and has made of one blood all nations of men to dwell on the face of the earth, and has determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation, that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us." Acts 24, verse 14. "But I confess unto you that after the way which they call heresy, so worship I the God of my fathers, believing all things which were written in the law and the prophets." 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 9. 1 Thessalonians 1, 9. "For they themselves show of us what manner of in we had unto you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God." Second commandment. While we're right here, let's look in Ephesians 5, verse 5. Ephesians 5 and verse 5. "For this you know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of God, of Christ and of God." So Paul is saying, if you're an idolater, you're not going to be there. It's just not going to happen. Acts 15 and verse 20. Acts 15 and verse 20. But that we write unto them that they abstain from pollution of idols and from fornication and from things strangled and from blood. So they were writing to the Gentiles to stay away from idolatry. Do not take God's name in vain. Paul writing in Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3, verses 9 and 14. Romans chapter 3 and verse 9. What then? Are we better than they? No, in no wise, for we have proved, both Jews and Gentiles, that they are all under sin. There is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understands, that none that seek after God. They are all gone out of the way and altogether become unprofitable. There is none that does good, no, not one. Colossians. Wait a minute. I didn't go down far enough. I was wondering why it didn't sound right. Whose mouth, verse 14, verse 13, their both throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they have used deceit, and poison of asp is under their lips. Whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. So they're taking God's name and cursing. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 8. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 8. But now you also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not to one another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds. We need to confess our faults one to another. And as Mr. Rigord mentioned, we need to pray for the leadership in United, pray for the leadership in the local congregations, pray for one another, pray for other true believers, wherever they are following Jesus Christ on the face of the earth. Pray for those in Africa. Commandment number 4. Still talking about Paul and his example, whether he was following Christ or not. Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter 17 and verse 2. And Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them, and three Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the Scriptures. Paul was a Pharisee of the Pharisees, the Scripture says. He was a very zealous individual. He was zealous, so zealous that when he saw Christians that he thought were not following the Scriptures the way he understood them from Gamaliel, he hunted them down. When they stoned Stephen to death, one of the first deacons, they laid the coat at Saul's feet. So he was there. He witnessed. He knew what was going on. He saw the death and destruction and participated in it. Very zealous. Very zealous. Looking back in my life and looking at talking to people over the years, I don't remember one individual ever that once God turned that little switch in his mind and he began to look at the Scriptures in a different light than did before. I don't remember anyone who said, ho-hum, whatever their degree of understanding of the Scriptures they had, when God opened their mind, they never were less zealous than they were before. Everybody I ever talked to was pretty excited about God's truth, whether they're still as excited or whether they've drifted off. That's God's call. And I'm sure in my own mind that a lot of them, the seeds of the knowledge that God planted in their mind and Mr. Armstrong cultivated and down through the years, those seeds are still in there. And I'm confident myself that a big majority of them are going to be not in the resurrection without changing, but that when tribulation really comes down and things get hard and tough, that they will think, oh yeah, I remember this man used to say that. And everything will come back together. Because it talks about an innumerable multitude coming out of the tribulation into the truth of God. And I think people, a lot of them, that have had some prior knowledge, and their mind will be opened and they'll come back. But I can't imagine that Saul, once he became converted and his name was changed to Paul, that he was less dedicated, less zealous for the work of God and the truth of Jesus Christ and the truth of the scriptures than he was. I think he was more dedicated. He went into the desert of Arabia and Christ taught him personally, I think for around 3 years, I can't remember exactly. But we've been taught by Mr. Armstrong, we've been taught by ministers over the years, and to be taught personally by Jesus Christ would be awesome. It really would. If you had someone that you would really like to talk to in the scriptures, who would it be? Or even in a physical, who would you really like to have another conversation with? And for me, Paul is up there pretty high on the list for me. There are several others. There are a lot of people I'd like to talk to and get some personal instruction from. Go to Acts chapter 18 and verse 4. Showing Paul's pattern of life. 18 and verse 4. And he reasoned, Paul, he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and persuaded the Jews and the Greeks. He was a very knowledgeable man. And with the zeal that he had, amplified by the Holy Spirit once he got that, he would be a hard man to resist. In fact, later on we're going to see a little bit of another individual that was not converted. Ephesians 4 and verse 28. Ephesians 4 and verse 28. Paul says quite a lot of things, and some of them you have to look at and say, okay. He does not come out and say directly, you ought to keep the Sabbath. But he kept it. He knew Christ kept it. He said, follow me as I follow Christ. So you kind of get the inference that he was a Sabbath keeper and he taught Sabbath keeping. This is another aspect of that. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 28. Let him that steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Second Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 10. For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. You say, what's that got to do with keeping the Sabbath? Well, it's a part of the Sabbath commandment. Remember when we read the Sabbath commandment earlier in the sermon? 6 days shall you work and do all your labor. It's part of the Sabbath commandment. When he was teaching that you should work, he was teaching the Sabbath commandment. Fifth commandment, honor your father and mother. Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, verses 29 and 30. Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, malice, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, spiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things. Sounds like a newspaper's today headlines. Disobedient to parents. So he was saying, honor your father and mother by being obedient. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 and 3. 1 through 3. Ephesians 6. children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. Jump down to Romans 13 and verse 9, and that covers quite a lot of territory because we're running somewhat out of time. Romans 13 and verse 9. Romans 13, picking up in verse 9. For this, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not kill, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. So here in that one verse, and I've got a bunch from all the rest of the commandments on down through, but it covers murder and adultery and stealing and lying. So Paul was pretty consistent in all that he did. If you want some of the other scriptures, I can either give you a copy of this or let you copy them off of the thing. No covenant, 10th commandment. Romans 7, verse 7. Paul was not only a commandment keeper, he was a commandment teacher. All 10. Romans chapter 7 and verse 7. What shall I say then? Is the law sin? God forbid, or may it never be. Nay, I had not known sin, but by the law. For I had not known lust, except the law said, you shall not covet. So coveting and lusting are covered pretty clearly right there. Most of the, in fact, all of the above examples, commandment by commandment, are in the scriptures. Now I would like to take a brief survey, an overview of some of the things that Paul said that covered big chunks, kind of the way he lived his life. Let's start in Acts 24. Acts chapter 24. And Paul had gotten into trouble and was taken before Felix. And they had an orator that went before Felix, beginning verse 1. And after 5 days, Ananias the high priest descended with the elders and with a certain orator named Tertullus, who informed the governor against Paul. And when he was called forth, Tertullus began to accuse him, saying, seeing that by you we have enjoyed great quietness. Well, Tertullus was buttering up the hierarchy here. He was buttering up the man in charge. And just lathering the office. It was like a politicians. You know, they'll tell you anything, and they tell each other stuff, and pretty soon they begin to believe themselves somehow. But he's saying, seeing that by you, Tertullus is saying to Felix, we've enjoyed great quietness, and that very worthy deeds are done under this nation by your providence. Just laying it on thick and heavy. We accept it always and in all places, most noble Felix, with all thankfulness. He's just working him up into a lather to agree with him. Notwithstanding that I be not further tedious unto you, trying to be humble, I pray you that you would hear us of thy clemency a few words. If we have found this man, Paul, a pestilent fellow and a mover of sedition, who's gone about to profane the temple whom we took and would have judged according to our law. But the chief captain Lysias came upon us and with great violence took him out of our hands. So you go back and read the account, and there are three different people that talk about the particular account of Paul being taken by the captain, and none of them agree. Everyone is coming at it from their particular point of view, and it's pretty skewed in places, and this is one of the more skewed ones. But Paul went on here to say, defending himself before Felix, "Neither can they prove the things whereof they now accuse me. But this I confess to you, that after the way which they call heresy, so worship I the God of my fathers, believing all things which were written in the law and the prophets, and have hope toward God, which they themselves also allow, that there shall be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and the unjust." Though it doesn't sound to me in that statement that Paul's making late in his life, before he goes to Rome and spends a short period of time and dies, that he's doing away with the law or anything of the sort. Down in verse 27 of chapter 24, he kept Paul in tow, but after 2 years, so he was, Paul was kind of held there for 2 years. After 2 years, Festus came into Felix's room, and Felix, willing to show the Jews a pleasure, left Paul bound. And when Festus was come into the province, after 3 days, he ascended from Caesarea to Jerusalem, and the high priest and the chief of the Jews informed him against Paul. Dropping down, when he had come, the Jews, verse 7, the Jews which came down from Jerusalem stood round about and laid many and grievous complaints upon against Saul, which they could not prove. And Paul saying, while he answered for himself, neither against the law of the Jews, neither against the temple, nor yet against Caesar, have I offended in anything at all. So they held him over again. Verse 26, chapter 26, verse 3. And he's talking to King Agrippa. Back up to verse 1. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, "You are permitted to speak for yourself." And then Paul stretched forth his hand and answered for himself. "I think myself happy, King Agrippa, because I shall answer for myself this day before you, touching all things whereof I'm accused of the Jew." Chapter 26 of Acts and verse 3. "Especially because I know you to be an expert in all the customs and questions which are among the Jews. Wherefore I beseech you to hear me patiently. My manner of life from my youth, which was at the first among mine own nation at Jerusalem, know all the Jews, which knew me from the beginning and would testify that after the straitest sect of our religion, I lived as a Pharisee." And now I stand and am judged for the hope of the promise which God made unto our fathers, unto which promise our 12 tribes, instantly serving God day and night, hope to come. For which hope's sake, King Agrippa, I'm accused of the Jews, the hope of the resurrection. I found it interesting in that, because this was something that I hadn't seen until working on this particular message. Which promise our 12 tribes. 12 tribes. Paul knew there were 12 tribes, knew they were in existence. They weren't gone way off somewhere. It's pretty interesting. And he goes on, talks about Paul's change and everything, conversion. And as he spoke this down in verse 24, and as he spoke for himself, Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, you are beside yourself. Much learning has made you mad. Anybody ever hear that if you study the Bible a lot, you'd be crazy? It would drive you crazy studying the Scriptures. I heard that when I was a kid. And I don't know, it doesn't seem to be as prominent as it was. For the king knows these things. He said, I'm not mad, most noble Festus, but speak forth the words of truth and soberness. And the king knows of these things, before whom I also speak freely. For I am persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him. For this thing was not done in a corner. He asked King Agrippa, King Agrippa, believe you the prophets? And he answers his own question. He said, I know that you believe. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, almost you persuade me to be a Christian. Now Paul was laying it on the line. Almost you persuade me to be a Christian. The evidence of the Scriptures is clear. Jesus Christ taught and kept the Ten Commandments. The evidence also is clear in the case of Paul. Paul followed Christ as he said he would. And Paul said in one of the quotes that I lie not. Paul taught the law of God, all of the Ten Commandments. The reason that we as Christians are to study and apply these commandments, along with the statutes, the judgments, and to live our life in the community that we have chosen, and I think a lot of times guided by God, to live out our life, is to be an example to the rest of the world, to the communities that we live in. As we follow Jesus Christ, as we put on the mind of Christ, we be an example to the community around of how God would live if he were a man. I want to close with a short story that I came across. I thought was pretty interesting. The child was crying, and the mother went to the child. The child had fallen out of bed, and she was comforting the child. And she asked the child, she said, How'd you fall out of bed? He said, I guess I stayed too close to where I got in. When we as Christians fail to grow in prayer and discernment, knowledge and understanding of Scripture, generosity and the other fruits of the Spirit, it's as if we're balancing precariously on the edge of the bed. It's quite easy to fall out of faith, out of the church, out of an active relationship with God. So it stands to reason that a good practice for us, for sleeping, and also for our Christian faith, is to be careful not to stay too close to where we got in.